Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Diane and Bob were desperate. They had an important business dinner in 4 days, and they still had not been able to find a sitter for Corey, their 9-month-old son. One of Bob's friends from work had just given them the name of a sitter he sometimes used, so Diane was trying to reach her on the phone. "You're free? Oh, wonderful! How about coming over a few minutes before we leave? Then you can meet Corey and we can show you where everything is here." "Great! See you Thursday!" "Well," she sighed to Bob, hanging up the phone, "at least that problem solved. Hope she's okay." From a parent's perspective, what should we know about babysitters, and how can we choose them wisely? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today can help us all understand better what to expect of a babysitter and how to prepare ourselves, our child, and the sitter. Sherita Rose is a health and safety instructor for the National Capital Chapter of the American Red Cross. She teaches life-saving Red Cross courses such as CPR, first aid, how to use an automated external defibrillator, and babysitter's training. The Red Cross Babysitter's Training Course prepares young people with knowledge in basic safety and child care, safe play, first aid, and critical emergency action skills. Sherita has 21 nieces and nephews. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Sherita.
Thank you.
What's the most common trap parents fall into when they're looking for a babysitter?
The most common trap, I would say, is they wait too late to search for a babysitter. They know ahead of time that they have an event that they have to attend, and they wait the day before and decide, oh, I need a babysitter. And when that happens, they will take whomever is available.
Which is not so great, right?
No, not at all. Planning for a babysitter, I would say plan 2 weeks in advance.
Wow.
Get to know your babysitter. If this is someone that's new to you, get to know them. Have your kids around them, so that your children will be comfortable around them. Another trap is once they find a babysitter, they rush them in the house and they don't show them where anything is. They don't show them the emergency exits. They forget to tell them, well, little Johnny can't have peanuts, or they're not allowed to play outside. There's poison ivy in the backyard.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of things that they forget to do. That's why when you're getting a babysitter, you must plan, because you have to think about the welfare of your children.
I guess one way to do it is think of how you would feel if you were walking into a new place with people you were responsible for in a situation you didn't know about, and think what you would need to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the other traps that parents fall into is picking a babysitter at the last minute who they're not familiar with. Go to a website that contains the sex offenders that are located in their area. One in particular, they can go to www.meganslaw.com. What they would do is insert the state where they live and their zip code, and it will give them a list of their sex offenders. It'll give them a list of what the offender did, how much time they served, and where they work, and their date of birth. So that gives them an idea of what type of people that they have in their neighborhood. They want to try to avoid making any mistakes. They have to be careful when it comes to their children.
Can you spell the website again and spell it out in case people didn't get it the first time?
Sure. It's www.meganslaw.com.
How old must a child be before he or she is old enough to be a babysitter?
Well, it depends on their maturity level, because you can have a 17-year-old that's not quite mature enough to handle, a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old, and in some cases, a 10-year-old. It depends on the maturity level. And I would take into consideration the age of your children. If you have smaller children, such as infants, you would want to pick an older child who would be able to change a diaper, who would be able to, if there was an emergency, be able to pick the child up. Maturity plays a major factor in picking a babysitter.
You're making it pretty clear that you don't just have the sitter come for the first time at the day that you need the sitter.
I would avoid that. I would truly avoid that, because when you do that, a lot of things are going to be left out.
In addition to maturity, what other kinds of qualifications should we be looking for in a babysitter?
You want to find a babysitter that has attended a babysitter's course, or has taken a first aid class, or has been through, maybe she's a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout, and has some type of training.
It's interesting. I always used to feel much more secure when I had kids who were old enough to talk. Then I could hear things that went on. We had one babysitter who was just delightful. She was pretty young. She was about 13, which I considered the basic minimum age at that point. And I had my oldest, I guess, was about 3 or 4, and he really didn't want to go to bed, and he certainly didn't want to go to sleep. And so he had convinced her, evidently, that he could sleep. It was all right. He could sleep with his eyes open. So she reported that to us. He's asleep, but he has his eyes open. Does it matter, do you think, whether the babysitter is a boy or a girl?
When considering a babysitter that's a little bit older, say 17, you might want to avoid a 17-year-old boy babysitting a 13-year-old girl who might be a little in awe over boys.
Now, what about the parent who says, oh, well, I know little Susie, and she's 9 years old, but she's really responsible?
I would tell them to rethink it. I really would tell them to rethink it. Although little Susie is responsible, she's 9 years old, but you have a 12-month-old, and you have to take into consideration the safety of the 12-month-old. Most 9-year-olds who seem to be mature for their age still aren't at the level where they can change diapers, they can stay calm in an emergency. You want to look for an older teen or preteen that can pretty much handle themselves in an emergency. And a 9-year-old, their maturity level just isn't quite there.
Do you think it's a good idea for kids who are at the beginning of the babysitting age range for the parents of the sitter to be available, and so the sitter could contact them if there were an emergency that maybe was over the head of the sitter?
Sure, of course. And that's one of the training, that's one of the things that we teach in our babysitter's course, is for the babysitter to be prepared at all times. The babysitter is actually going to interview the parent as well as being interviewed. There are set questions that we would like the babysitter to think about, that they would like to know, to make the environment safe for themselves and the child or children that they're going to babysit. So we have them come up with questions or, you know, things that they want to ask the parents. Go meet the parents, and we suggest that their parents meet the parents of the children that they're babysitting. So everyone knows who everyone is. The parents give them an emergency list of if they can't get in contact with them, is there someone else they can contact? They give them, if they live in an area where 911 is not their emergency number, what their local emergency number is. They give them the poison control number. They have a list of everything that they need to do to be a safe, productive babysitter for that evening or night, whatever it may be.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on babysitting.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Sherita Rose from the American Red Cross about babysitting. Now, we've all heard some pretty hair-raising stories about babysitting situations. How can we know that the sitter we've hired is responsible? She looks nice, she's clean and neat, she smiles, she seems to like the kids. How do we know that when we leave that she's not going to then call her boyfriend and a few other people and come over and have a nice party with the kids sitting around?
That goes with setting guidelines for your babysitter. There is no foolproof plan to know that when you leave, everything is going to be intact. But what you want to do as a parent is to set guidelines for your sitter. You want to make sure that there are no guests. Guests are not allowed, because if they have guests, that's going to deter their attention from the children. And you also want to make sure that you want to limit outings. You want to make sure that if you know that there's a night that you have to go out and you need your sitter to take your child to tutoring or to baseball practice, for example, things like that you might want to try to work out beforehand. You want to try to limit outings. You want to try to limit outdoor activities. Usually the best thing to do is if they're just going to go in the yard, but you want to definitely set guidelines for your babysitter.
I don't think I spoke up enough when my children were really little, and we had one babysitter who lived right down the block and was very convenient for us to use. She was one of five children and a very nice, responsible family. And I think we made a mistake. We let her come again after the first offense. The first offense was we came home. After my husband walked her home, we found evidence that some glasses had been broken, sort of swept under the counter edges so we couldn't see. And there were cigarette butts in the toilet. So we thought, either she's up to mischief herself, more likely she's had company. So we confronted her on it, and she cried and wailed, and she would never do it again, and, you know, she had broken our rules. And we made the mistake of hiring her again. Nothing terrible ever happened to her or to our children, but the second time, she had a boyfriend over whom she couldn't get out of the house fast enough when we got home, and he got locked on our screened porch. She let him out the side door into the screened porch. It was winter in New England, and the screened porch door was frozen shut. So my husband and I went up to bed, and we heard this banging and thumping and banging and thumping. This poor kid, who was 16 years old, was trying to get off our porch, and he couldn't. And my husband said, "I'm not going down there to see what's on our porch. I'm calling the police." So the police came, scared the kid out of his mind, and we had to call the girl who came down the street in her bathrobe, you know, to say, yes, she knew this boy, and yes, he was her boyfriend, and she had had him over, you know, when we weren't home. And we, of course, didn't press charges or anything, and then we didn't hire her again. But we shouldn't have hired her a second time after the first problem.
With babysitting, it's mandatory that they stick to the guidelines. Mm. And there's no three strikes, you're out. The first strike, that's it. Because that pretty much deteriorates your trust in them.
What kinds of guidelines should we set up for our sitters specifically, Sherita? How often, for example, should we check in with them when we're out? How much of a handle should we keep on this when we're not in the house?
Well, you would want to set up basic guidelines, as I mentioned earlier. No guests, limit outing, limit cooking. You definitely want to limit cooking. Try to stick with snacks or things that can just be put in the microwave. Limit areas of the house. It's easier if they can keep an eye on them if you have them all in the same vicinity. Make sure that they don't have one in the basement, one upstairs, one in the living room. You know, try to keep an eye on all of them. Make sure that homework is fine if they're babysitting, if they have to do homework, but you want to stress the point that to make sure that they pay attention and they know where the children are at all times. TV is fine. What I try to do is to have the babysitter get the children involved in what they're doing, to come up with an activity that they all can do. That way they won't have to worry about, well, this one is over here doing this. They can just all come together, do an activity or watch a movie. In some of the classes, I would have some of the babysitters say, well, we don't like to watch Teletubbies. And the little kids like, just deal with it. You're getting paid for a service, and I try to let them know that this is bringing them into the real world. You're going to have to do things that you don't always want to do. You had another question.
Oh, about how frequently to check in?
Once is enough. You don't want to check in too much because you don't want the babysitter to think that you don't have any confidence in them at all. One little courtesy call won't hurt, but once is pretty much enough. Unless you have this feeling that the kids are jumping on the bed and there's just something horrible going on. Other than that, I just say one call should do it.
Today's world, they can always reach us. Most people have a cell phone or access to some kind of telephone if they need to be reached.
Yes.
What kinds of preparation should a teenager have for the job of babysitting? Now, you have a wonderful course.
Yes.
So that's one way to do it.
Well, the American Red Cross offers a babysitter's training course. And this course is an 8-hour course. In the course, we encourage the students to be professional. They learn what to do in case of an emergency. They learn how to properly answer the phone when someone calls. If someone calls and says, is Mrs. Jones home? Just say they're not available instead of saying, oh no, they're not here. We show them basic first aid steps. We show them different scenarios of what can go wrong when you have guests, or what can go wrong when you're at a playground and you're not really paying attention to the children. What can go wrong when you're by water? So there's so many scenarios that we go through the class. They learn how to come up with their own resume. They learn how to approach an adult. A lot of babysitters, you'll find that when an adult says, well, how much do you want to be paid? They kind of shy away, or they wait for their parents to say something. But in this class, I'm teaching them to be assertive. State what you want, what you need, what you're going to accept. Tell them when you're going to be paid. Tell them you'd like to be paid before they leave that evening or when they return that evening. And they really leave with a confidence. They really feel like, okay, I can really do this job. So those are the main things that we want to teach in that class. There are a lot of other organizations that offer not quite a full-blown babysitting course, but will offer them courses of what to do when they're home alone or what to do in case of an emergency. I know that the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts also offer our American Red Cross course babysitters training. So there are other venues that they can search for just to get some basic skills.
Do you think all babysitters at this point should know CPR?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I believe they should know CPR, and I especially believe that they should know what to do in case of an emergency. How to call 911, what to say is very important, because we have a video in the babysitter's course and it's showing what can go wrong when you call 911 and you're frantic and they can never find you. So it's very important that you tell them what's wrong.
And how to get to where you are.
It's yes. pretty important, I guess, to make sure the babysitter has written down the address of your house, the exact address of your
yes.
house.
Yes, and what we do is, in the course, we give them emergency sheets where they can fill out the parent's name, emergency contact people, allergies that the children may have, all of the emergency exits, and we encourage the babysitter to do a walkthrough of the house. Get to know their surroundings.
With the parent
with
before
the parent,
they leave?
Yes. Get Good to idea. Know where all of the emergency exits are. If the family has an emergency exit plan, to find out what that plan is. If they're upstairs, there might be a way that they come down the stairs to go out the basement, or they come out the front door or the back door. There's so many different things.
And where extra keys are.
Yes, definitely.
Sharita, do you think there should be some sort of certification process for babysitters?
I do. I believe there should always be a certification process when you're dealing with children. And it's because children are so fragile, I believe that babysitters should be able to know how to care for them. One of the mistakes that parents make is, oh, well, I have a family member, or I have a neighbor that can watch my child, but that neighbor or that family member, maybe they don't have children, or maybe they've never really been around children and they don't know what to do when they get around children. Children are very active, and I believe that it takes a special person to be a babysitter, someone that has patience, someone that actually likes kids. You can't be a babysitter if you don't like kids. So I think some sort of training needs to be necessary for them.
We had an experience when one of my children was very young. We had a girl up the street who was supposed to be very responsible, and she was the right age range and so on. And I had had her over and introduced her to the kids and showed her the house, and everything was fine. And we went out and we came back, and the son, who was very young, didn't look very good. And I said, did he have a problem? And she said, he was just, I don't know how many months old, like 10 months old or something. She said, well, he was choking on a piece of carrot, so I massaged his larynx.
No.
I thought, oh my God. So fortunately, the child was okay, but the mother took a very long time to get over that.
We've all made mistakes, I think. When my children were, I at the time had two young children, my husband and I were going to a foreign country on a vacation. That was a different kind of search for a babysitter, but we hired a woman who had helped a lot of other people we knew, and we never asked her if she was bringing anybody with her, because it never occurred to me that a babysitter would do that. So, and we had met her, and when she arrived at our house to take over, and we were leaving for an international flight, she was carrying a nine-month-old son. And I said, "Is he staying with you?" She said, "Oh, yes, I bring him with me now." So I thought, oh, dear, now my children have another child in the house.
Goodness.
They weren't. I didn't have babies at the time. They were maybe 3 and 5 or 4 and 6 or 7 or something like that. And there was nothing we could do. We had a flight to catch. So I called my mother, and I said, "I'm going to ask you to come over every day. I want you to call a couple times. I want you to call at night because I just want you to come and see what the setup is." I hadn't set up a crib. I asked her where the baby would sleep, and she said, "Well, he sleeps with me." This was a really difficult situation, so I think it was sort of one of those unforeseen questions that I just wouldn't have thought of. Luckily, everything turned out okay, but of course, we didn't know all these things that you're saying now that we should have been asking should definitely have been dealt with someone staying overnight.
And I guess also if they would have had a pet.
She could have arrived with a pet snake.
The kids would have been thrilled.
Yeah, probably.
That goes along with setting your guidelines. It's very important that you take the time to sit down, set the guidelines, set up your interview questions. Sit down and think. Take the time, if it's you and your spouse, sit down and think about everything you would like this babysitter to have, what qualities you like them to have, questions that you'd like to know. All the limitations that you have for this babysitter, you want to write everything down. That's very important.
That goes for people who are babysitting as well as people who are employers of babysitters.
Yes, definitely.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on babysitting.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Sherita Rose of the American Red Cross about babysitting.
Do you think the children should be involved when they're older in talking to the babysitter when the babysitter comes for an interview?
Sure. I think that the children should be introduced. I think that the children and the babysitter should take some time to get to know each other. Usually children actually have a better feel sometimes for their babysitter than the adult might have. There might be something that the adult missed that the child might pick up. So I definitely think that the babysitter should definitely get to know the child. It's very awkward when you have, unless it's an emergency situation and there's no way, you know, of getting the babysitter and the child together. But if you have a situation where you have some time, you want to get that awkwardness out of the way, because a lot of children will shy away around a new person and they might not act themselves with the babysitter. So it's very important that they get to know the babysitter as well.
Do you think it's a good idea for the parent, after the run through of the house and some of the preliminaries and the questions, to leave the babysitter alone for a few minutes with the child? Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes, I do. I think that they should get to know the child. The child should get used to seeing their face, especially with toddlers. Get used to your face. So if you show up again, okay, I kind of remember you. You look familiar. I'm not going to be that frightened of you. But if this is one that they've never seen before, your babysitter might have a night of all crying and no cooperation. So you definitely want to get them to meet each other.
Sherita, what resources would you suggest for parents to learn more about babysitting, for babysitters to learn more about babysitting?
Okay, for parents, I would say to check with your local community centers, your local American Red Cross unit, your Girl and Boy Scout units, your local YMCAs. Check and see what they have available. Sometimes they have lists of babysitters in students, college students or high school students who are looking for babysitting jobs. They might want to check their local libraries. A lot of time libraries will have listings of who's looking to be a babysitter or the different type of books that they can get. Of course, the internet would be a useful source.
Does the Red Cross have a website?
Yes. Our national website is www.redcross.org.
We want to make a distinction because there's a lot of information here between parents looking for babysitters and babysitters looking for courses.
Okay.
Right? The library would have, for example, maybe lists on the bulletin board for parents looking for babysitters, but then you would go for a book in the library to find out about courses and things like that.
That, as well as going to, as I mentioned, going to some of your local community centers or your local Red Cross chapter to find out where you can take a course.
Okay, but they also may have lists of people who've completed the courses who would be then certified?
Yes, some chapters okay. will offer a list stating who's interested in babysitting, who has taken the babysitting course. Also, I wanted to touch on the point of not only preteen and teenagers being babysitters, but grandparents being babysitters. We have a grandparenting course that helps seniors who have lost or in time may have forgotten some of the basic things when caring for a child. So in this course, they get the chance to renew all of those skills that they might have forgotten about or lost, or some of them are new to them. So this course teaches them, okay, I'm keeping my grandkids for the weekend. I'm babysitting them for a week or a weekend, or even the summer. It's time to bridge the gap. Well, I know that I like knitting, but I know that my grandson is not going to want to knit. So they try to, you know, give grandparents an idea of what to do for that summer or that weekend or that day. So babysitting, I just wanted to stress the point that it's not only just preteens and teens, it's also grandparents who do a lot of babysitting as well.
That would be especially important for grandparents who did not have the opportunity to take CPR or something like that when
yes.
they were young parents.
Exactly.
So what a wonderful resource.
Sharita, how could our listeners get this babysitter's handbook that you have with you?
This book is sold nationally. They can go to any of their local Red Cross chapters. They can also order it on our website, as I mentioned, at www.redcross.org.
Well, Sharita, you have been a tremendous resource for all of the listening parents and babysitters as well. So we want to thank you so much, Sharita Rose, for your helpful suggestions about selecting babysitters and preparing to be a babysitter.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and tell us what station you are listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.